We're going to begin reading at verse number 1. So Colossians 3 and verse 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word, and we just pray you would help us to understand it, help us to realize how its truth should affect us, Lord, and help us to live in the light of those truths. Lord, we just pray your blessing on us from your word this day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, several weeks ago, of course, we'd been looking through Colossians, and we kind of were focusing on the idea of the reality of our relationship with Christ. And over the last few weeks, we've focused on some, what we would say would be some basic principles of who God is, and what he is to us, and how that should affect our thinking, our values, our actions. But you could say what we looked at the idea of God's presence, of his power, and his authority, we could say that that was sort of like a parenthesis to kind of help us kind of get a broader picture of the life that we have in Christ. But having done that, we now want to essentially plug back into the line of thought that Paul has been laying out here in Colossians, so that we can be reinforced in the thought that if what the Bible says is true, and it is true, then its truth should transform our lives. As we saw previously, through the faith of the gospel, we as believers become united with Christ. That we are dead and buried with Christ, but then we are also risen with Christ to walk in newness of life. And because we are risen with Christ, we should be seeking those things that are above, as we see in the first part of this chapter, which we already touched upon previously. But as well, we realize at the same time, because we are dead with Christ, because as it says there, that our life is hid with Christ in God, then we see that as it is commanded in verse 5, we are to mortify, therefore, our members upon the earth. And so when we look at that phrase, we ask, what is Paul talking about there? And by our members, we recognize that Paul is not talking about the physical parts of our body, but rather those sins that are a part of us, in which we walked and lived and yielded our physical members unto before we were saved. And by the structure of the sentence, we see him saying, mortify your members upon this earth. And then in the next phrases, he proceeds to basically give a catalog or a list of all these members to which he is referring to. And in verse 5, we see that there's a lot of words there which most of us at first glance may not be familiar with. But once we define them, we soon find, sadly, that we are all too familiar with them. We see a fornication, that the Greek word from which that is translated is porneia. And it speaks of the idea of indulgence in physical relations outside the bonds of marriage in all of its different forms. We think of uncleanness, that it speaks of physical or moral impurity. Inordinate affection speaks of desires which are wrong or perverse. Evil concupiscence. Concupiscence is not a word that we use at all in our day and age, but essentially it means the desire for what is forbidden. And really, when we think of that, we recognize that to be exactly to be summing up what is so often our nature, even from infancy onward, that we don't like to be told no. And when God says no to us, something that you shouldn't have that, that's not right for you to have, that our sinfulness and our rebellion just makes us want it all the more. And as well, we see covetousness, which is the desire to have more, to not be content, to see something that someone else has and say, I want that, and I'm not going to be satisfied until I get it. And as we see here, it says in covetousness, which is idolatry, that it's saying that in God's eyes, being coveting things, being greedy, desiring after other things, is akin to idolatry. And we wonder, well, how is that possible? But when you think of it, when we become consumed with greed, we become focused on that thing that we want, that we figure that we need that, that we're going to be willing to make whatever sacrifice we need to get that thing. It could be our coat of honor, it could be our reputation, it could even be our family if we want that thing. And that thing, essentially, when we're sacrificing to it, it becomes a god to us. And we worship it. And we have a sense, well, this is the only thing that can bring me true fulfillment, true satisfaction. And the truth is that the only thing that we can find true fulfillment, true satisfaction, is in God Himself. And we see that he lists as well further down other sins. We think of anger and wrath. Wrath is related to anger, but it's kind of more the sense of violent outbursts against someone else. Malice is the thought of having a desire to see other people hurt. And then when something bad happens to someone else, that you rejoice in that. That blasphemy and filthy communication speak of the vile and derogatory things that may come out of our mouths. That blasphemy, we think of it concerning God, what we might say against Him. But we think of filthy communication as more what we would say towards our fellow man. And then finally we see, as it talks about lying, that we're not to lie to one another anymore. That it's the idea of being deceitful. That we can be deceitful in our words. We can be deceitful just in the way that we come across someone, that we can act like we're a friend to someone but then speak against them behind their back, or we can try to portray ourselves as a certain thing, but then in reality that's not who we actually are. And all of that we see to be sins that we are not to persist in as believers. And all of these things we acknowledge, as Paul says, that pursuing after these things brings God's judgment and wrath. It says, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That their judgment falls because of those who practice these things. And we as well acknowledge that these things once defined us, as it says there, that in which we also walked sometime when you lived in them. That they were what we did, that they were what defined us. They brought us under condemnation. And that was why we went and came to the Lord in repentance and faith and turned to Him, so we can be delivered by His grace from the wrath that we justly deserve for doing these things. But yet at the same time, we also have to acknowledge that even after we're saved, all of these things in one form or another, or to one extent or the other, are still part of us. They're members that are upon the earth. That we didn't suddenly lose our flesh, that it's still there, and we find ourselves struggling